In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Your faithful, on the Sunday following the Feast of the Ascension, Holy Church has us read an excerpt from our Lord's farewell discourse, those words, the last testament which he gave to his disciples on the night before he was to die. The greater part of this lengthy discourse, comprising chapters 14 through 17 of St. John's Gospel, relates the Savior's promise to send the Advocate, the Paraclete, the Holy Ghost, which is why this Gospel is read today, as we find ourselves in the midst of the great novena begun last Thursday with the Feast of the Ascension and culminating on Pentecost Sunday, the Feast of the Descent of the Holy Ghost. And I would encourage you all to pray and beg the Holy Ghost to descend anew upon the face of the earth, to touch the hearts of us poor sinners, and to lead us to all truth. The subject of this sermon will not cover, though, the Holy Ghost, nor his nature and operations, nor his seven gifts. Today, rather, we shall treat on scandal. Our Lord says in today's Gospel, "These things I have spoken to you, that you may not be scandalized." Scandal commonly refers to an action or event regarded as morally or legally wrong and causing general public outrage, such as the outrageous behavior and personal lives of the vast majority of celebrities and politicians. Scandal also commonly indicates the outrage or anger caused by a scandalous action or event, such as what justly follows the revelation of the horrendous behavior of certain churchmen. The world loves a good scandal, hence the entire tabloid industry and the trash magazines which litter the checkout aisles of the grocers. This is not the type of scandal which our Savior refers to, though, in today's Gospel. In the moral and theological sense, scandal arises from speaking, doing, or omitting to do something observed by men, which gives to another occasion to sin. Now, why did the Lord mention scandal to the apostles while predicting their eventual sufferings and martyrdom? He did so that they might not afterwards be scandalized and shaken in their faith in his divinity, and hence fall into the sin of disbelief, of apostasy. For the sufferings thus predicted became a new evidence in favor of the Christian faith, and a motive to perseverance, since the Christians perceived that their afflictions came not unsent, but from the very hand of God, and that the way of suffering and of the cross, of persecution and temptation, would eventually lead them to future glory. Hence the confidence of all of the martyrs in the midst of their torments. As St. Paul says, "Be not surprised, therefore, when adversity befalls you. Persevere in patience, and through suffering you will enter into glory." Rather than delve into the scandalous behavior of some of the clergy and of other popular figures in today's society, as tempting as that might be, but that would also plunge us into the sin of gossip and various other sins of the tongue, let us examine ourselves to see if we are perhaps the cause of scandal for others. Are we guilty of any actions, or lack thereof, that lead others into sin? We can do so in a great variety of ways. The scholastic moralists give us 9 ways by which we can be an accessory to the sins of others: by counsel, command, consent, provocation, flattery, concealment, partaking, silence, or defense of the ill already done. Most often, though, scandal is caused by our own bad example. This is done when, for instance, we dress immodestly, use unchaste or vulgar language, singing songs which glorify immorality, dancing provocatively, or inciting others to do the same. We can give scandal by drinking to excess in front of others, or by furnishing others with the means to get drunk. When we encourage others to anger, cursing, and revenge, or by preventing them from assisting at Holy Mass on Sundays and feasts of obligation, or engaging in other pious works. All too often, unfortunately, it is parents who give scandal to their children, not only by their own sinful example of cursing, swearing, defrauding others, of injustice, of excess in food and drink, by their consumerism and greediness, impatience, and manifest impurity. Parents are very often the cause of scandal for their children when they neglect to keep their children from bad company, or by not disciplining them, or removing from them all that is harmful, and providing them with that which is good. By giving scandal to their children, parents murder the souls of their own offspring. We should not be surprised that the horrible and perverted state of the vast majority of the youth today, because they are provided by their parents with the tools they need to do so. With all of the smartphones and unlimited access to the internet, which opens up to them a portal to every vice imaginable. And I cannot insist enough on this point. If parents desire for their children to grow up and to be good, faithful Christians, they must begin by setting a good, loving, and firm example, especially Christian fathers. This is most important. Do not be afraid to discipline your children when they misbehave, and remove from your households all that is superfluous and occasion for sin. Remember the harsh warning of the Savior regarding those who give scandal. Woe to him who gives scandal. It is better for him that a millstone should be tied about his neck and that he should be drowned in the depths of the sea. Scandal is a terrible and frightful sin. By scandal, countless other sins are brought about, and myriads of souls are deprived of their first innocence, develop patterns of vice, and are carried off, most likely, to perdition, as the loving designs of providence for our salvation are frustrated. He who is the occasion for scandal in others is culpable for all of the sins he incites them to commit, and will have to give an account for each one of them on the great and terrible day of judgment. In these days leading up to Pentecost, may the Holy Ghost illumine our consciences that we might see and truly repent of any scandal that we have caused. And may Mary Immaculate preserve us from this dreadful vice. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.